Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Welcome to the show, and today is Thursday. This is going out on Mintwave Radio, so you can ask Alexa or you can go to the site karenrobertscoaching.com/Mintwave-radio. Listen live or to see the schedule for the rest of the week. If you're watching this or hearing this on the podcast, then again, go to the website /podcast-network. Check out not just mine, but any of the other podcasts on our network. You can download the app for Apple or Android. Feel free to subscribe to any that take your fancy. Leave a comment and follow. So today's episode is 129, and we have Joseph with us today, and he is a mindset coach, and we're going to be talking about your mindset matters. So it does. And I'm your host, Karen Roberts. We provide a platform for coaches, consultants, therapists, and healers to get their message heard to the people who need to hear it. With the radio station and the Raising Vibrations, Changing the World One Vibration at a Time podcast network. So, welcome to the Welcome to the show, Joseph.
Thank you, Karen. Very happy to be here. From Charleston, South Carolina. We're hitting London, right? We're in London now.
Yeah, absolutely. Exciting. But Joseph, you were born in Brooklyn, New York, oldest of six kids, went through the normal ups and downs, he says, of life, partied a bit too much. Oh, I might not have stopped. And by his late 30s, he did rehab. Started to turn his life around and has been expanding his life experiences and spiritual practices. He had a 44-year relationship that just ended with his passing. Very sorry about that. He's a mindset coach for professionals, coaches who are struggling to find the right work-life balance. Well, there's many out there. Working together with his clients, get guidance, support to explore opportunities. They can find clarity, massive thing, right? And make the best decision for them. He helps his clients who feel overwhelmed create an exciting life by helping them choose, set, and more importantly, achieve their goals. So, thank you so much for being here, Joseph.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with your story. If you'd like to share with the audience a little bit more in depth about how you came to be doing what you're doing now.
Well, to be honest, I never imagined myself in this position. This is about halfway through my life. Now I'll be turning 70 at the end of this month. Don't feel it. It's just a number. So
You don't look it either. No, it's so you. There you go. It's how you feel, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I feel blessed to be here at this point in my life because when I was growing up, 70 was like time to get the casket out, you know. with the health and everything, all the new advances we've made for people to take care of themselves and more exercising and eating the right foods. We're all living to 100 now, more or less.
There's no need not to, I think, now with the right stuff. But many, many people aren't aware of how to slow the aging process. It's expected of us to be a certain way when we get to a certain age, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I could, from my own experience up until this point in my life, the one piece of advice I could put out there is when you get up in the morning, you're setting the day. You're starting from wherever you start. When you get out of bed, that's how your day is going to go. So if you choose to meditate, say a prayer, just focus on what you want out of the day. And usually what I do is I stay in a positive mood. And try to stay happy. Keep the high energy, happy going wherever you go. When you see somebody, you make them smile. I don't take life seriously. Something happens, it happens. It's part of life, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're going to dwell on it, you're back in the past. So just stay in the moment. Everything will work out. It's like a cloud. It passes by.
Yeah.
Some clouds are bigger than others, but we get through them.
And some stay a little bit longer. I mean, it's so funny because when you hear somebody say something like that, I mean, it's, and you're absolutely 100% right. However, it sounds so simple, but I can't think who said that. Anything that's easy to do is just as easy not to do. I can't think what quote that's from. And that's the thing, isn't it? All these things, it's mm-hmm. actually not difficult, mm-hmm. but we get caught up into doing the things that really aren't serving us. So today's topic was going to be about your mindset matters. And okay, you just started on that, but I mean, it's everything, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Because my platform I use to promote myself, so to speak, is Facebook. And I put out content 6 days a week. And I always add something inspirational. And I get so many comments from people how I needed that today. And, oh, that's so true. And that alone, without taking on clients, makes me happy that I'm doing something. For one person that might be in such a down place that day, to read something that I put out there to share with everyone, that's that makes me feel I'm humbled by it. And I know... Yes, I had a horrible, well, it wasn't horrible. I had fun while I was drinking and drugging. Grew up in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's a big city. But to be honest with you, I've traveled around the United States, and Brooklyn is it's a community. And there's communities all across the 50 states, and I'm sure they're in London and everywhere else around the world. So it's usually, you know, your neighbors on the block that you grew up in. And it's a confined kind of comfort zone. That's the best word I can put for it. You know, and after I was growing up with a lot of indecisions, no real role models in my life. I had to kind of figure everything out myself. And when I was about 16 or 17, I started wondering why I didn't like girls. I couldn't figure this out. I mean, all of my friends like girls and I don't. And I was brought up a Catholic and prayer is going to help you. And so I prayed every night when I laid in bed, I prayed, please make me the same as everybody else. But it didn't work. So I just kept my little secret. I tried dating women, but
I can't imagine why that would be. Come on, yeah. Joseph. I mean, if that's all you've got to do, I mean, it's just goes to show how much conditioning mm-hmm. we've all been brought up with. Everyone's got different beliefs throughout the world, but especially with Catholic or Protestant, you know, the whole and other religions, that so much conditioning has been set in that you would ever have to get to that stage where you're praying to be something different to what you are.
Well, part of that is the conditioning is fear. That's the conditioning that I don't know if you know anything about the Catholic religion, but you need to go confess your sins to the priest and he'll forgive you. And I had a little problem with that because they told me God is everywhere. So I thought to myself, if God is everywhere, then why can't I just talk to him directly? Why do I have to go tell a priest all my business? They didn't like hearing that. But in any case, the part about the praying was the fear that you're going to be damned for all time in hell. And that was up to that point, what I believed, heaven and hell. And as I moved on my journey, when I reached 21, I went to my first gay bar. And everybody in there looked normal to me. They looked like college students, and I was about 21 or 22. And I immediately said, well, if this is what gay looks like, then I'm gay. And I, it was such a relief to let that out and feel it. And I went home the next day, told my whole family, and they were all like, well, what else is new? They kind of knew it. Because you have that fear also of telling your parents. So many people, so many gay people just agonize in their mind about what they're going to say and how they're going to react.
And also may not have got the same reaction either.
Right. Exactly. That's where I was going with that, because it's hard. This is who you are. And then you try to share it with your family. If your family rejects you, who else is going to reject me? That's kind of how I looked at it. But in any case, as soon as I realized that's out of the way, then I realized I was in this little community that I described before in Brooklyn, where I couldn't act anymore. Because up until this point, I always act, hey, how was the football game last week? You know, you put on that persona. You wear so many different hats. Because life is all about acting anyway. Depends on what situation you're placed in. In any case, I moved to New York City, and that is a different animal. That's New York City. And I was on my own for the first time. I could do whatever I wanted. I had a good job, but I went out every single night. And the bars closed at 4 in the morning, so I would stay to the very last second. Get a couple hours sleep, go to work, and oh, isn't it wonderful to be young?
not sustainable, though, is it?
No. So we had the disco era, which I absolutely loved. I was a DJ during that period of time. And we had Studio 54. And looking back, it's like a different planet. When I look at the memories I have from that, and I don't see them anywhere nowadays. Where people can really go out and express themselves as much as then. It was freeing. It was freeing to go dancing and just be yourself. But as we said, you know, you take too much of this and too much of that, and eventually your body says, I can't handle this anymore. And my new understanding of who I was as far as religion is, was that religion didn't matter to me anymore. Religion became an institution like any big business. That's how I started looking at religion. And my God was a loving God, accepting God. He didn't damn anybody for doing anything. He's forgiving. And so that was what I started following. And it didn't come about until I sobered myself up. I had to go from New York to Minnesota. Because at that point, I tried going to AA in New York, but I couldn't be who I was as a gay man. And if you're going to have secrets when you're trying to get sober, it's not going to happen. So I made the commitment to move to the first gay and lesbian treatment center in the United States. I think they opened in 1988, and I went in 1993. And it didn't take at first. You know, I would go a year or 2 years with sober, and then, oh, I'm cured. So and you're back on the roller coaster, and it's hard to get off. Once you have that one drink, you need 100 more to satisfy yourself. And it made it hard when you went to AA and you were sober. But when you had a drink, all those voices are in your head. Oh, you're drinking again. Oh, you know better. Oh, it wasn't fun to have a drink. You'd push through it, but those inner voices were there, ridiculing you and saying, you know better. You're smarter than this. But anyway, in 2005, I was living in San Diego. I had moved to San Diego for about 10 years after I was in Minnesota. It was freezing. Freezing. And San Diego is the complete opposite. It was 72 all the time, barely rained, but boring. After a while, it's like boring. That can get boring.
Right.
And I couldn't relate to the people. An East Coaster on a, with a West Coaster person, their worlds were different. And it was hard relating to people. In any case, I moved back to Minnesota. 2005, June 6th, that was my last drink. And with all the AA I did up until that point, I'm not recommending this, but I had surrendered enough that I have never been to another AA meeting since. The only time I might go is if somebody asks me to speak or tell my story, but to go on a regular basis like I used to, I don't really do that. What I did, I filled that part up with my spiritual stuff, where I go to church and I have a weekly Course in Miracles with a few people, where we go over. If anybody ever heard of that book, it's an eye opener as far as trying to figure out your place in this world. And it's supposedly was dictated by Jesus Christ. So you can download it too. It's an app. It's free. It's free. What more could you do for? In any case, I filled my life up with that stuff, and I went back to college when I was about 40. I got a degree in behavioral science. Everything about mindset was in there. I mean, Carol Dweck, I think her name is the one that really started focusing on and pointing out what mindset was all about. And for people that don't know about mindset, there's two types. It's the fixed mindset and there's the growth mindset. So if you're someone that makes a mistake and ridicules yourself or talks, says bad things to yourself and doesn't try to make a second attempt at what you failed at, then you're in the fixed mindset group. But don't despair, because you can change your life any point in time. The growth mindset is anybody that you see that is active in their life. They like to explore new things, travel, they like diversity in their life. They just open themselves up to all new experiences. And that way of life is so much fun. But there's, for the fixed mindset group, they have the fear. There's that word again. A Course in Miracles teaches you, there's only two emotions, fear and love. That's it. All those others are just byproducts.
Names.
They're the only two. So when you see somebody that's doesn't seem like they're in their right mind on the street, or just somebody that's all bent out of shape, overwhelmed, stressed out, they're crying for love. They have the fear that they don't know where they fit in, how to move ahead, or am I ever going to be successful? And guess what? I just learned it's a new year now, but over the last 6 months, I realized the fixed and the growth mindset start around when you're seven years old. Everything your parents told you, your mother told you, your father told you, your aunts, your uncles, your neighbors, your values and belief are set in stone in your subconscious mind by the age of seven. And you take those with you through your life, through your teens, your early adulthood. And they're always there. You're trying to make a decision, but the subconscious has the final say. And if they say, they remind you, your mother told you, you're not going to amount to anything, then you're not going to amount. You believe it. These are limited beliefs. They're called limited beliefs, and people have them. More people have them than know they have them, but they're there.
Totally. They're there. Because it's not taught. It's not taught. Many people, if they're not sort of following this kind of, you know, anything around the self-development arena and haven't actually made a conscious decision to dive into this and study this, why would they? I mean, we only, all of us, it's none of us, it doesn't mean we're bad people or anything, but we, none of us know what we don't know. And, you know, if I hadn't have been introduced to that arena, I would, still be affected by a lot of it. It's just such a shame that this should be taught in school. It's so important. Like you say, seven. By the time you're seven, and then all of a sudden, then people when they're in their 40s and 50s are all of a sudden going back and trying to sort of, not fix, because none of us are broken, but to try and understand some of the decisions they make that they might not really want the results of. And to actually, it's always about going back and looking at, you know, I don't like this word trauma because it sounds so harsh, doesn't it? But it could have been just a simple conversation. You've remembered something that somebody said to you, and in your little mind, it really affected you. And it's just amazing that we can, if people realize how much power they have, that they can actually, they can turn it all around.
Yes. All it takes is rephrasing those thoughts in your head. Once you recognize them with the help of a coach or a mentor or somebody to talk to, because if you keep all those things in your head, you're not going to get anywhere. They're going to only grow and make the whole thing seem a lot worse than it actually is. There's three areas that this affects. When people get all stressed out, that's just a symptom of one of the mindset things that's not working for them. And it's health, wealth, and relationships. If you teach, like you said before, this is easy. Stress, how to handle and lower your stress levels is easy. Google it. They'll give you all the tips and all the techniques you need, but people need to be held by the hand. Some people, they just can't do it on their own. They need a motivator. And I understand that. The same with weight loss. I mean, everybody knows how to lose weight, but what is a multi-billion dollar industry?
I know. Well, there's a massive gap, though, isn't there, between knowing something and doing? Yes. Two separate things.
Well, that's part of how I approach that with when I have a client. The client will go over everything and we'll figure it out. We'll get rid of the stress first, and then we'll look under the hood and see, okay, what's affecting you? Oh, it's my relationship. Oh, it's my job. Oh, it's my money situation. We pinpoint that, and then we say, okay, what kind of goals do you want? What are you looking for? Where do you want to be, after you're done with this program, 4, 6, 8 weeks, however long it takes to get it done. And once they decide on that, they set up the goals. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm going to just be there kind of like a supervisor and a motivator. Because if I tell you what to do, you're not going to do it. Okay? Anybody tells me they know better than me, this is your life. This is who you want to be. So what goals do you think? Okay, so now here are the goals. And you work on them for the week. You get homework, you come in once a week, talk. If you have a problem, you call, But if you follow the process, your life will get better. It's the same thing they told me in AA. Follow the 12 steps and your life will start getting better. Unfortunately, it didn't for me. I went the opposite way. And it's kind of the same thing. It's a parallel, the same exact thing. You stop the drinking and then the hood comes up. And this goes for anybody that has any kind of addiction. There's an underlying problem that you're trying to squelch. You don't want to look at. You don't want to feel. You don't want to know about. And once you stop that addiction, then you have to look at it again. Okay? Because there was a reason you started on that path. And that started making sense to me, and I ended up going to see a psychoanalysis. I didn't believe in therapy at the time. I just thought, well, you could just talk to somebody about this. What do I got to go to a therapist for? I didn't understand it. But I went in and I said, well, how long is this going to take? like I had a, you know, such a busy life. he says 2 years. I said, 2 years? You got to be kidding me. 2 years of this? And you have to understand there's a difference between a regular therapist and a psychoanalyst. Psychoanalyst doesn't say a word. You do all the talking. They just nod their head. So you don't get feedback. You don't know. Well, how am I doing? Am I getting better? How's, you know, you just say, well, what's going on? And after a month of talking about how your week went, it gets boring. And they know what they're doing, because what you're starting to do is peel this onion and getting to the root core of what the problem actually was. And you start getting deeper and deeper into talking about that stuff. And I was getting close to the end, and it was getting a little painful for me, too painful. So I started calling up, telling him I thought I was done. I think I'm done. I think we got it all out now. And he's like, no, you didn't. No, you're right at the spot now where you need to get this done and put behind you and move on with your life. And sure enough, he was right. And we did the 2 years. It was up. The time was up. And that's when I decided to go back to school and pick up my spiritual life. Read The Power of Now. That was the first.
I love that spiritual book.
Yeah, everybody does. It's so wonderful. We should read it at least once a year to refresh our memory of how.
Oh, 100%. Well, I have it on Audible now, because his voice is so calming as well.
Right.
So I like to listen to Eckhart these days. Mm-hmm. Come on, Eckhart, remind me how simple. And that is actually that book for me personally was massive. And because I first read it about 20 years ago, and I thought I got it. And I realize now, no, I didn't. Because this is why we have to, like you just said there, you know, get it out and reread it, because you see something or you hear something that you sort of somehow missed before, or your level of awareness wasn't quite there. I thought, I get this, right? Yeah, I get it. We've got to be in the present moment. Stop worrying about the past. Stop stressing about the future that hasn't even happened yet. But that whole thing about just, I call it, I'm practicing my unthinking. Like I talk a lot. So when I shut up verbally and mentally, it's like, I didn't realize how easy this, it could be. I was getting it all right. I kept thinking, I've got to think, you know, all this thinking, ego.
Mm-hmm.
And what I take from Eckhart is that, nah, man, so much easier than that. Practice being instead and stop thinking.
Do you meditate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. That's good. It's very.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like nothing when you first start it, because you say, oh, I can't meditate because I'm thinking about making dinner or my date for next week, you know, and all these thoughts are coming in your head. And the simple process is you take a nice deep breath in and you say it to yourself, breath in, breath out. You can only think of one thing at a time. So when you're thinking of your breathing, all those thoughts just kind of float by and you don't have to engage in them. Just let them go. You start for 5 minutes. Try it 5 minutes, then 10. After a while, you'll feel your daily activities are a little calmer than they used to be.
Oh, so much so. And you're right. I think so many people totally miss this, the importance of that. I come from the fitness world. So I used to teach a class. It was called Body Balance. It was sort of a mixture of Tai Chi, yoga, and Pilates, I suppose.
Wow.
And nice. So, and then at the end, you'd have only about 10 minutes total meditation. But what you'd notice, especially, say, working in the city of London, you know, everyone, you're in the rat race.
Mm-hmm.
The women would come in, do the class, and then the moment you go to lie down, they're getting up and walking out because they think they've got to do the work, the exercise, and they just totally dismiss that part of it because you're lying there doing nothing. But isn't it funny that actually, that's the work, the doing nothing. It's right. such a massive part to help. They just don't seem to see the benefit because it's, I don't know, it's an intangible, isn't it? It's just their perception of what they should be doing and they don't understand.
They're on their own journey. Think back, if we all think back to our lives and the different paths we've taken along the way, you know, where we're doing something now that we would never have dreamed of doing 20 years ago.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't have meditated years ago. Not a chance.
We're advancing. We're opening ourselves up to new things, and the new things are good. You know, they're the hardest part is the meditating at the end of your sessions. You're right, but the benefit is so much more rewarding than the exercise is going to be.
100%. But I suppose, like everything, you know, I don't know why we all expect that, and I think that's part of it for some, not all, is if they struggle to, you know, shut it off, all the chitter chatter, they give up too soon. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know why they expect that it's going to be anything different from anything else you do. It takes practice.
Mm-hmm.
And well, like you said, love it. Practice. Just start with 5 minutes. It doesn't, right. Who can't do five? But again, going back to what we said earlier, anything that's, you know, sounds too simple, doesn't it?
Well, they have the, anything like you use the Audible for your books. They have Audible for meditation where somebody will guide you through it. They'll talk to you and a soothing voice and get your mind all closed down because it needs to be closed down. It can't be going 24/7 because you're going to be a wreck, stressed out to the max.
But again, it's about we've been taught to, we need to control everything. We've got to write lists and remember to do this and remember and plan and prep. It's all think, ego.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yet actually we all have the answer within us. And actually when we you'll remember the things that you need to do. It totally fascinates me how it works and how I think, oh, I got it so wrong before. But again, because we weren't taught it. We weren't taught the importance of having that. It's all about balance. I mean, nothing's going to get done if you spend all day meditating. There seems to be two teams, you know.
Well, George Harrison used to. He loved, I saw a documentary. I was really impressed because he was the most advanced spiritual beetle out of all the four of them. And he just, once he, they made fun of the Beatles when they went to India and that was roo, roo, wah, wah, all crazy stuff, you know, that they're getting into now. And meanwhile, it's mainstream nowadays.
Yeah.
But George Harrison, during the documentary, he was talking about when he first learned about meditation and he got deeper and deeper into it. He said if he could, he would meditate all day. And the one other thing, key thing that he talked about is when he passed, he wanted to make sure he passed peacefully because when your spirit leaves the body in a violent way, it's not the same thing as when you're going to the next level, wherever it's supposed to be. I don't know how he knew that. And that's why he was sad when John Lennon was, you know, taken away in a violent manner. He said he didn't feel good about how his spirit left his body. But those are role models. They do their regular job. Brilliant musicians, but they know what's really important for our lives. What really makes a difference. Buying new stuff, getting a lot of money. In the end, they should do a documentary with people leaving their bodies. You know, when they're still cognizant of everything around them, but they may have some kind of an illness and they know they're leaving. To ask them a few questions, to look over their lives and tell us what now that you're here in this point of time, what was the most important thing? What were the things you wish you did? Stuff like that. I think it would be very helpful. Although,
well, it's never going to be one of those things.
One of those Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, people will only stay on it for 10 seconds and move on to the next thing. So that's not very helpful nowadays.
And that's probably part of it. We're so distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Constant distractions, notifications, this, that. And there is, for a lot of, not for all, but for a lot of people, they have a lot more stress these days. And with, obviously, social media, there's so many things to check, or the way certain jobs have gone, it's almost like they can't, you know, the going to work and then leaving your work at work and going home seems to have changed for many. It's almost like they're still answering emails late into, you know, that's all of this is all to distract, to keep us busy. So people aren't getting the opportunity to relax. And it's what happens? Burnout.
Well, I'll do a nice time management program. because a lot of it is a waste of time of the stuff they're doing. The first thing you need to do, if you're so caught up in those social media platforms, is to, before you go to bed, like an hour before, and put that phone somewhere out of reach to unwind. You don't want to do it up until the second you're going to fall asleep, because you're not going to have a nice, good sleep.
No, I try and do that for my daughter. It's a nightmare. It's like, turn that phone off, leave it in the front room, go to bed.
There you go. Really? They can. It's like, who's texting me? Oh, what did I miss? What did I miss? Nothing important. They're telling me what color their pajamas are. Come on, go to bed.
I mean, as much as I, you know, I need social media for my business. However, you know, I would totally love to go back to the 90s, before we all had mobile phones. You know, it's amazing how we ever met each other, and, you know, life still went on, didn't it? And if you couldn't get hold of us, you couldn't get hold of us. Tough.
Right. Right. And that was just people in your immediate vicinity. Now the world is our oyster. And I think this is a spiritual thing, this Zoom stuff, because it just opens up so much of the right people meeting at the right time now. Before it was a smaller group. Now it's, I mean, in my mind, anybody you meet is a blessing. There's a reason they're coming into your environment or they're meeting up with you. I feel it could be 5 minutes, it could be 50 years, but there's lessons to be learned on each side. And that's why you're coming together.
Absolutely.
To bring the news. That's part of prayer too. If you ever pray about something in particular, God's not going to whisper it in your ear, no matter how much these preachers will tell you God was talking to them and this is what we're supposed to do today. This is how you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it either on the telly, as you Londoners like to call it. The telly.
I like that.
You might read it in a book. You might see it in a magazine. Some stranger or some friend might bring that subject up with the answer. That's how your prayers are answered. It's telecommunicated through our thoughts, our energy. All of this connects. And you never know when you put on this Zoom thing and you just have a name of somebody you're supposed to be meeting or having an interview with. You never know who's going to be on that screen and what they're going to say. That could, in fact, change your life completely. They could have the answer that you've been looking for. And all of a sudden, there it is. Mm. And the light bulb goes off. That's an answered prayer to me. That's how that works.
Well, it's opened it up. And that is, you're right. I agree. I think this is, you know, obviously the yin and yang. There's the good parts of these things and there's the not so good parts of these things. But yes, it is, or it has opened the world up. And then I think it, you know, if you are in sync, you're just going to naturally attract, you know, I don't like using this word, but attracting your tribe. I've got to come up with a different word for that because I don't know. There's
everybody's using that nowadays, tribe.
Yeah, it doesn't resonate.
Like-minded.
Yeah, you're just attracting the right people for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and everyone's different, and there's no right or wrong. It's whatever's right for you at that time. So yes, mm-hmm. it's definitely opened everything up, hasn't it? So yeah. there's definitely lots of good points. I'm not dissing the social media thing. It has its place, but like everything, like you were just saying earlier about, you know, you had some fun back in the day, but when we overdo anything, it seems, overdo anything, it's not going to be good for us. It's going back to, I suppose, having that balance between the whole lot, mm-hmm. finding that balance. And I suppose for some people, that can be a struggle.
Everything in moderation is the way I say it nowadays.
Yeah.
Because you know, if you're overdoing it, you look at the clock and it's noon and you're on the couch and the TV may be on and you're scrolling. And then all of a sudden it's 2:30. Time can't come back. Losing time is worse than losing money, because you can replace money. That's part of your life.
I'm sure time's speeding up. I'm absolutely convinced of it.
Feels like something's changed. It's like, didn't we just have Christmas? I mean, it just feels like
Oh, shush. It's crazy. It is crazy. Mm-hmm. That's just mm-hmm. my age. I've just got to deal with that. Well, so for you, Joseph, now doing what you're doing, mm-hmm. who is it specifically that you're looking to help? Why would somebody come to you in particular?
Part of it would be that they trust me. They're not coming to me because I'm a coach. They're not coming to me because I write nice content. They're not coming to me because they could afford me. It comes through emotion and it comes through trust. So obviously, with the thousands of coaches online, because I've been online just a little over a year now, I've had 30 years of experience in mindset, so I could do that with my eyes closed. The marketing part is all the stuff I had to learn about how to market yourself. And that means you have to show people who you are, because as people, they're less trusting. As soon as you say hello, some people will say, "What are you trying to sell me?" I'm saying hello. Hello. It's a social media platform, remember?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're coming to me for some guidance, some help. They have pain. They're hoping you. That's my phone. I can't stop this. In any case, they want to know you feel their pain and you relate to them and that you have a solution. If you have a solution, they're all in, but you got to lay it out. You can't say, well, I read a lot online of some conversations. Well, what do you do? I'm a life coach. Oh, and what does that mean? Well, I help people build their happiness. Well, people can't see happiness. They need to know what is the specific goal you're going to solve, you're going to bring me to. You know, am I going to get a raise at work? Am I going to get a new boyfriend or girlfriend? Are my relationships with my wife going to improve? Tangible, something, you know. Otherwise, you're in the sea of thousands of coaches. And
everyone, there's so many different coaches. And like you say, it's all about what is the big problem, because a coach could mean a thousand different things, right? It's somebody to take you by the hand and get you from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of competition, but I still feel that it doesn't matter. There's enough for everyone. There's a right coach
abundance.
For everyone to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had tons of coaches. And I would never have even heard my latest coach if I'd come across him 20 years ago. It would have gone over my head. You know, there's a coach for everyone to meet them where they're at, and they're all great. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're all going to help somebody that's the right, that is the right fit for them to bring him to that next level. And yes. And yeah, like you say, it's people are going to connect with you. I mean, you've got a very calming voice as well, Joseph. You'll be like,
Thank you. I've heard it a few times.
Yeah, you have. You have
recently,
got a very...
one of my limiting beliefs, public speaking.
It's common.
I had it since the age of 9, and I did everything along the way in my life to avoid any time it was coming up in the classroom presentation, in the AA meeting where they say, come and get your chip. Oh no, now I got to talk to everybody in front of it becomes a, even in the baseball game when you're at the in the batter's box, everybody's staring at you. I mean, how are you going to do good if everybody, it's all on the line now. Come on, Joe, let's see. Come on, get a hit. So anyway, I came online and I see everybody making videos and and I said to the coach I had at the time, I don't have to make videos, do I? Well, it'll help. It'll help you. And so I did some practice work in the group that I was in, you know, 5 minutes a day, just talk a little. And I broke the barrier. And soon enough, a week later, a lady asked me to do an interview on her show. And 2 weeks after that, I did 2 podcasts. And then I started hearing, because I told you I don't watch any of these things.
Yeah.
I put them out there and I wait for the to hear. And people are like, wow, you have an amazing voice. Wow, you should do your own podcast show. Wow. And I was like, see, the line, I can't think of the exact quote, but what you're actually looking for is on the other side of fear.
Ah, there it is.
Yes.
How true is that?
It opens a lot of doors once you walk through it.
Yeah. And again, like you just said there, it takes practice. So you were able to have a safe space to just practice a skill set in short spurts. It doesn't have to be the scary thing, right, does it? I mean, look, I would, you know, I'd be used to teaching classes in front of whatever, 50, 100, doesn't matter. Didn't have a fear of that. Mm-hmm. The moment I knew there was a camera on me, I just turned into this wreck. Like, what is wrong with me? And again, it takes, again, for me, when I came into this world and thought, oh, well, I've got to do video. But again, it takes practice. Now, I mean, I'm far from perfect. I'm just myself.
I'm just being myself.
Isn't it funny? We put so much pressure on ourselves, and maybe this is an age thing as well. I really don't have that fear of being judged. Judge me. I've no problem with it.
Right. This is who I am. Take me or leave me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, right? It's so freeing. Yeah. It's so freeing though. Whereas years ago, I would have I've still got a real issue about photos though. So I'm the opposite to most. Most people will do selfies all day long. I don't do selfies. I shy away from, I don't know. Again, it's just some kind of silly fear. Oh, I really don't photo well.
We have a lot of expression too that would come out nice in a picture.
But I think that's why I prefer to do video, because I feel that people will be able to get me. But a photo, I just got this. It's just funny little, like you say, we have these little.
We have a lot of quirk things. Yeah.
And it's just about, I've got to just step out of that comfort zone for it and get over myself.
You say to yourself, what's the worst that could happen when you have that fear come over you?
My head might fall off.
I never like. Do you ever hear that line when you? I haven't gotten on a stage yet. Who knows if that's down the road? But that's a whole other animal, I believe. But have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, in order to overcome your fear when you're giving the speech, picture everybody in the audience naked."
Didn't work for me.
They're still going to be looking at me.
Didn't help. They're still really
critiquing every little thing I do or miss something, and. You know,
I can honestly say I've never felt fear like it, my first one. Honestly, I felt sick to the stomach. I wanted to run out that door.
On the stage?
Yeah. But again, just like anything, you get up there, you do it. Okay, I'm sure I could have done better, but I did it. And then, of course, then the next time it's a lot. And just like anything, we just put so much pressure on ourselves.
That's what we want to
and it fear really is quite paralyzing, yes. Isn't it?
Was it a lit auditorium or was it dark?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it was.
It's lit.
It was all up on a dark.
You can just kind of pretend there's only one person there, but yeah. Lit, you see everybody.
Yeah, nice stage, all up. But it was a fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. And that was just before lockdown. And I did it again in November. So I'm 3 years after my first one. Yeah, loved it. But again, it's just, isn't it funny? So, fears.
Give us the tips that you used to do it.
Oh, definitely just practicing being just... Really, whereas at the first year I was panicking and then thinking I'm going to forget my talk and I'm going to, again, just turn it off.
Right.
Turn it off. Again, I mean, I know it's, you know, it's easy.
And what are you focused on when you go out there?
What am I focused on? Connecting with the audience, just actually rather than like deer in headlights. Mm-hmm. Which I probably was the first time, and I couldn't use a clicker. So bless him, The guy, the sort of sound guy, could see that I was struggling. So he went and did the clicker for me because I couldn't talk, focus on that, and click at the same time. Second time again, though, yeah. Again, it's all about being relaxed. The moment you relax and breathe,
right.
And then just talk from the heart, then what's the problem? As long as you know your stuff, it's... You're not going to have a problem.
You have a sense of humor that could help too, I bet.
Just can't take yourself seriously. Yeah, don't take yourself so seriously.
Right.
So for you, to the listeners,
yes,
they want to come and have a chat with Joseph. How do they find you?
I'm on Facebook, Joseph James. Now, I only have 5 letters in my last name, but everybody messes it up. Constantly. It's IORIO. If you write that down, you'll see 10R10. 10R10. I'm on Facebook and all my connections are on there. So say hello, read my content, you'll enjoy it. Anything you want to know about mindset it's laid out there every single day. Every single day.
And it is. It's just picking up those tools and it's creating new habits. Do you find that there's just so much resistance to change? I suppose we all want to, whatever goal we have, we just want to get there. Ideally, we want to get there without making any changes. Well, and you think that you're going to keep doing what you've been doing and get this goal. It's not going to happen. But there seems to be so much resistance to the change, the fact that they've got to do something different because we're all sort of zombies in a way, walking around all day on autopilot. So to do something changed.
Change waits for nobody. You either change what's going on or you're left behind. And the pandemic just intensified it to the 10th degree. You had no choice but to make changes in your life. And then when it's ended, you're coming out a different person. Where do I fit in this world? Do my hopes and dreams, are they still aligned with what I used to before the pandemic or after it? Because you got to take a lot of things into account with your life, with your family, and which way you're going. Is this job good enough for me? Could I do better? Everybody's going online now. Nobody wants to go back to an office that had the luxury of working from home. And they're trying to get people back, but they don't want to go back. They're like, I did my job at home. Why do I got to come in now?
Yeah. I think although it was a horrendous, and I, you know, I struggled. Yes, like I'm not good as a caged animal. Don't do that to me. Mm-hmm. But in hindsight, so I know it was horrendous for many, and it was. I hated it. However, there is still the light that came out of it, and that is, I speak to so many people now that it made them, again, we were forced to take a step back and look at what we've been doing. And many really realize, because when they're caught in the rat race, mm-hmm. they're not giving it any thought. So to have that break to then think, actually, am I happy doing what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. So I do feel that there's been lots of positive turnarounds from it.
I believe that I call it the universe, but it can be called God if you want. But I think when people need a change in their life, that would be an individual person who hates their job and complains about it all the time. Universe will step in. And unfortunately, they may have an accident of some kind that has them bedridden. And the universe is giving them time to think about, you don't like your job, now you have time. Get the paper out, go on the internet, whatever, and start looking for another job, because you can't work right now anyway, and you might as well use the time to make yourself happy. Did the same thing with the pandemic on a grand scale, because I think a lot of people were just running around in the wrong directions, and it gave everybody time to just step back, like you say, and breathe a little and think about, you know, where was I going? And now you can take a look back. Where was I 2 years ago? What was I doing? Did it make any sense in my life? So all you got to do is ask and you'll get. Just ask. I believe in the law of attraction. I'll end it on that. That's my spiritual part. As ask and it is given. Jerry and Esther Hicks. Abraham talks through them.
And I love Abraham.
You got to have a positive energy, like I told you before. Be happy and follow your bliss and stay in that centered energy and start asking for what you want and focus on it. Write about it. Put pictures up on the wall. Have a box where you put all your things that you're looking to have, a new car, new house, whatever it is you're looking for. Gather it all together and focus on it as much as you can. Put it in the bathroom. Smile when you wake up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror. That's a way to start the day.
Great tips.
Yeah. I want everybody to be
happy. It doesn't have to be difficult.
No. Difficult.
We complicate it. I know. I've complicated half my life. You know, totally. I overcomplicate things.
One, you're gonna get angry. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It goes away a lot faster if you count before you react.
And there's the thing. It's so many people are reacting. Yes. Wrong. All these things that, you know, maybe our parents told us, no, count to 10.
Yeah.
She was right. Yeah, my mum was right. She was right. Count to 10 before
don't forget
you
the
5 second
rule while we're talking about time. The 5 second rule. You think about, oh, I got to clean that bathroom today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Get up and do it right then. Because then you're putting it off for another day. As soon as you think about it, you do the 5 second rule and you follow through and it's done. And you go, wow, I feel so much better. It's done.
You make it all sound so easy that makes you think,
and it is. As you get older. Because a lot of stuff you were worried about makes no sense to you now.
Yes.
How you look when you went out of the house. And yet everything had to be in place and you had to have the latest wardrobe and all that stuff. It doesn't mean a thing to me anymore. I could care less.
I don't think it's ever to me.
If you're talking about me, I'm happy because you're giving somebody else a break.
Love that outlook.
It's none of my business. It's been
wonderful speaking to you today. Yes, you do have a wonderful, calming voice. Thank you for taking your time out.
I enjoy talking to London. I love London. I love the accent. And you gave us the Beatles, my favorite group of all time.
Oh, I can't take ownership for that. So, yeah, thank you for your time to the listeners. I will be back on Monday with a Coffee with Karen. So have a wonderful weekend. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a